Blog Talk Radio.
Hey all, welcome back to the segment of Welcome to My World. We're going to be talking all things Bernie Sanders. As per usual, of course, as per usual. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of things, and I know that there are some of you out there that are feeling disheartened and abused and used and oh so lonely, and I understand, I get it, I do, but I am here to tell you not to give up. Don't be disheartened. As you will recall, things played out very similarly to how they're playing out for Bernie Sanders for a certain senator from Illinois in 2008. Now, there are a few major differences, of course, between then-Senator Obama and current Senator Bernie Sanders. And I think we all know what those are. But basically, Sanders is what I have been calling a triple threat candidate. He doesn't take corporate money. He has very popular opinions that are sort of, populist as far as the message that is contained therein. And they haven't changed in, over 40 years. So thirdly, he doesn't take any corporate money. And he has really, really tapped into this grassroots movement. So really, is Bernie Sanders going anywhere? No, he's not. Now, I do want to talk about a couple of things first. As far as the information that we have at our disposal right now, and I'm sorry to say this to the Sanders supporters, but Hillary Clinton did just win Mississippi. Now, earlier tonight, the Sanders campaign thought that we had that unlock. We thought we had it unlocked. We did. Sanders was pulling ahead, and unfortunately, that lead didn't last. Now, remember just a little bit ago when I said that your voice matters and your vote counts? Remember that, guys? Just, you know, not to say I told you so, but I told you so. Because, okay, I'm not making this up. Just check this out. Do you want to know how much Hillary just won by in Mississippi? As far as the vote. As far as the vote. I'm sorry, did I just say Mississippi? I meant Missouri. I do apologize for that. As far as the vote in Missouri. Now get ready for this. She got just over 1,000 votes. More than Senator Sanders. That is how she won 71 delegates in Missouri. So if you're going to tell me that your voice doesn't count and your vote doesn't matter, especially in national elections, please, please recall this moment in your mind where I sat here and told you on air, live, in front of thousands of people, that Hillary Clinton won 1,000 votes. Keep that in your mind, ladies and gentlemen. I would love to, you know, use this as my bully pulpit the next time that somebody comes up to me and says, oh, my vote doesn't count, my voice doesn't matter. You know, please stop. This is ridiculous. It does. Out of a state with how many people in it now? And I'm not sure what that number is, but let's say, I don't know, millions of people. I would assume 1,000 votes counted, 1,000 votes were the difference between a win and a loss. Now, this is with 100% reporting in, okay? So there's no margin for error right now. She just won. She just won with about 1,600 votes, maybe a little less, maybe 1,550 or something like that, 1,549. So again, when you're saying your voice doesn't count, your vote doesn't count, your vote doesn't matter, I really want to recall this moment in time when it did. So that being said, with the 71 delegates that this state had to offer, here's the information that we have at our disposal. We're going to be counting delegates just momentarily here. Okay. Now, as things stand, Hillary Clinton has 1,561 delegates. 1,561 delegates. Bernie Sanders has 800. Now, is this a lead that can't be whittled away? Absolutely not. So I don't want you guys sitting there saying, oh, I give up. The volunteers, it's all the volunteers. Nobody did enough. I've heard that already, and I'm here to tell you again because I have the bully pulpit right now, that that is complete and utter BS. That is ridiculous. Absolutely not. All of the volunteers that I know of did a stellar job, a fantastic job. We've been out there doing everything we can. I mean, whether it be canvassing, whether it be phone banking, whether it be doing a radio show like this, whether it be making songs and writing songs for the campaign, whether it be making public speeches, doing public speaking. You know, I personally have done all of the above. So I know that there are a lot of people that have. A lot of us have traveled to other states too to do these things. I personally have covered every single live appearance that Bernie Sanders has made since he started running for office in Illinois. Now, if you don't feel like that is contributing to the campaign, then I would love to know what you're smoking because I want some. So let's not go there, okay? Let's not blame the volunteers. Everybody has done enough. No fair going around and saying, you haven't done enough. We haven't done enough. If only we did more. That's not what it's about. We got the message out there. We did what we could. It's that the voters didn't go to the polls because that, frankly, folks, is what matters more than anything. More than anything is going to the polls. You can give people all the information that you want. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can't make them go to the polls. You can't drag them kicking and screaming. You can't call their boss and tell them to give them the day off. You can't, you know, influence things in that way. You can't. So, again, let's kind of knock it off with the volunteer blaming because that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Absolutely not. I'm not going to hear of it. Also, actually, now, since I've got the bully pulpit here, as I said, there's something else I would like to talk about. And this is something that a lot of my friends and my potential constituents here in McHenry County, as well as, you know, friends and contacts just all over the United States have brought to my attention, that they're sick of seeing the bullying social media messages. Like, and I'll give you an example. I'm not going to be friends with you anymore. I'm not going to be friends with anyone anymore if they vote for so-and-so or if they don't vote for so-and-so. That's ridiculous. That is abhorrent, childish, kindergarten playground behavior, and it needs to stop on both sides, on all sides, in fact. So let's be above this. No more of that. That's ridiculous. You're not bullying anyone into coming over to your side. What you're doing is you're putting off potential voters who might actually be interested in some of the things your candidate has to say by making them think that your candidate is the same kind of reprehensible asshole that you are presenting yourself to be. So stop. So stop. Because that's ridiculous. It's just unacceptable. So let's stop with the bullying social media posts. Let's stop with the kind of bullying nasty emails, texts, you know, to the volunteers. And, you know, that's silly. That's ridiculous. You know, it's got to stop. What we need to do is we need to continue, and I know a lot of us are. I know a lot of us are, so I'm not calling you out. But we need to continue showing ourselves to be the kind of stand-up people that Bernie Sanders is. We need to continue representing his viewpoints and his talking points and just his general overall good character by being those sorts of stand-up people ourselves in everything we do and say. Does that mean that we can't call somebody out if somebody said something really nasty, like if a I don't know, maybe a Trump supporter, just for example, said something really nasty, does that mean that we have to sit by and, you know, braid each other's hair and sing kumbaya? No, it doesn't. We can call them out. We just aren't going to be calling them out by using, you know, nasty swear words and telling them that we're not going to be their friend anymore if they don't blah, blah, blah. We're going to have to actually embody the goodness and the really positive, forward-moving energy that Bernie Sanders embodies if we want to do well in our endeavors to help Bernie win. Otherwise, we're actually going to be hurting him. I know a few potential voters who have been put off by those sorts of Facebook posts. In fact, a couple of Bernie volunteers recently, and nobody that I know from my area, but a couple of Bernie volunteers recently, and I've seen these posts. People have shown me these posts. They have posted really nasty stuff. One of my friends who is a Republican who is actually thinking of voting for Sanders in large part was put off by more than a couple of posts she saw from Sanders volunteers and supporters that just didn't characterize the good-natured, you know, positive, forward-moving attitude that Bernie himself embodies. So, again, that's something we need to keep in mind going forward. And I'm not saying, oh, that's why he didn't win. I mean, that's voter turnout. That's just the breaks of the game. He didn't win in Illinois because of voter turnout. It's not because you didn't do enough, I didn't do enough, you know. So let's stop with that. That's silly. But I think overall, when we say and do things that don't represent our candidate very well, I mean, heck, we're not Trump supporters. We're not. I mean, you can act like a jerk and be a Trump supporter and still represent your candidate and still maybe not cut into his voter base because those people aren't voting for him on the issues. They're voting for him because they're afraid and they're voting for him because they're ignorant, you know, plain and simple. Plain and simple. I mean, we can pretty it up and we can beat around the bush if we want to do that, but sense breaks, kids. That's why people are voting for Donald Trump. So save it, because we all know that's the case. But basically, if we're Sanders supporters or even Clinton supporters or what have you, and we're going off acting like, you know, complete lunatics, going off half-cocked, telling people that we're not going to be their friend no more because they don't support our candidate, that is going to reflect badly, and that could affect and influence voter turnout for our candidate. So, again, just something to keep in mind moving forward. This has been something that's been brought to my attention a lot lately, a lot. And then, of course, the sort of pushing overworked volunteers to do more than they're able to do. And people still have to make a living. People still, I mean, if I'm homeless, I'm not going to be a very good Bernie supporter. If I lose my house or can't pay my mortgage because I'm only working for Bernie or only working for Hillary or what have you, I'm not going to be doing my job as a supporter. So, you know, I've got to be able to work. I've got to be able to take care of my family. I've got to be able to, you know, and I mean, in the general sense, I as a Bernie supporter, not just me specifically, but, you know, if I can't take care of my kids or take care of my, I don't know, sick relatives or pay my car note or pay my house note, then how am I going to help the campaign? And if I'm so overworked, one volunteer that I know worked themselves to the bone and quite literally became ill with pneumonia and had to take like a month and a half off of volunteering because of that. And, you know, she had been pushed so hard to do more and more and more, and had been sort of given the cold shoulder when she didn't do exactly what people wanted her to do, that she gave herself pneumonia. And we don't want to do that, so let's not go there. Another friend of mine with cancer was asked to canvass. Well, she can't physically canvass, so stop asking her to canvass. You know, so I think, let's not lose the message. Let's not lose that really positive energy that we have. Let's not lose that message, that momentum. Let's not muddy that up and cloud that up. But really, you know, take what I'm saying for what it's worth. I happen to think that I'm speaking sense, but, you know, you make that decision for yourself. You make that judgment call for yourself. Hopefully you'll listen to my advice. I do work with people for a living. I do consult people on how to move through confrontations and interpersonal interactions in a positive way. So I do know what I'm talking about. I did go to school for psychology. I do know what I'm talking about. So I hope you'll listen. I hope if this is something you feel you're doing, please listen. Please listen. Okay? We can't beat up on the people that are already helping. That's not going to get us anywhere. Look, the Democratic Party is already self-cannibalizing enough. We don't need to add momentum to that. We want to add momentum to the positive, you know, uplifting, forward-moving Bernie Sanders sort of fever. That's what we want to add to. So let's keep that in mind going forward. And again, thank you to everybody who turned out as volunteers, as voters. We gave Hillary a run for her money in Illinois. That's awesome. This is her home state. So without further ado, let's look at the information. All right. So again, Bernie nearly tied Hillary in Iowa. As of this moment in time, Bernie is only 2 points behind Hillary in her home state until what? Recently, when he only was 1.6 points behind. Oh, man, how awesome is that? And you know, it did. It changed literally just now as the rest of the votes came in, from 2 points to like 1.6 points. I mean, that's awesome. That's huge. This is her home state, you guys. Consider this a win. Consider this a win. We already talked about the numbers and why he's not even close to being out of the game yet. I mean, do you know how many delegates Washington has? Seriously, do you? Because I don't know. No, we've got that information right here. Just wanted to check and see if you guys were awake. So, really, he's not even close to being out. We've got hundreds of delegates to go. And he's catching up to her. He's going to erode her lead. All right, we're going to talk more about that momentarily. We're going to talk more about that momentarily. So, you know, keep that in mind, as I said, that he's only 1.6 points behind in her home state. That's huge. That is huge. So the momentum is picking up. I mean, this is her home state, you guys. This is a big deal. So moving on to our next point, and I hope that we don't start any internal wars between people who sort of support Hillary and support the establishment of the DNC and those who don't. But you know what? I'm here to state the facts, and these are the facts. Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC have purposely held primaries and caucuses that would favor Hillary Clinton first, hoping that that would decrease the momentum for the Bernie campaign and destabilize his voter base. I mean, this is all strategic. It's just what they've been doing with the debates. They have been holding the debates on nights that they don't think people will watch. And, I mean, is it despicable? Is it awful? Yes. And, heck, you guys, if you think that this is awful and despicable, then you really need to vote for the challenger of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's being challenged in an upcoming election. So keep that in mind. If you don't want to see this kind of establishment, old boys club thing going on with the Democratic Party, then consider, if you're eligible, consider voting for her challenger. I think that would be appropriate. I think that would be more than appropriate. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. We haven't actually seen the primaries and caucuses yet that are really going to launch Bernie to the top. We haven't seen them yet. They're coming up within the next week or so, though, so let's get out the vote. Let's get out the word. New York and Washington State are big ones, and we really need to get out the vote there. So if you want to focus on volunteering and, you know, doing your duty for the Sanders campaign, I think that's where it would be best, the efforts would be best felt. So, as I said, it's not that Bernie isn't doing well. He's actually giving Hillary a real run for her money in states that she should have won easily, like Iowa, like Illinois, even some of the southern states that I mentioned on our last segment. So there's a lot of momentum here. Let's keep it going. Let's be kind of professionals about this. Let's not let some small perceived losses knock us down and keep us from supporting the candidate that we love. Now, you know, as I said, despite all of the attempts on the DNC's behalf, Bernie won Michigan. He won Maine. He won Oklahoma. He nearly tied her in Iowa. As I said, the votes have just been recounted. He won in Vermont, Mississippi, and the real hardcore Bernie states, as I mentioned, have yet to hold their primaries and caucuses. So really writing him off doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense. Now, moving on to the point of superdelegates. Now, I know that this is really tough to understand, the superdelegates, pledge delegates, dichotomy. It's, you know, it's a bitch. It's a pain. It's real irritating, and some people don't get it. So I have explained that. I did explain that on our Iowa caucus results show in depth. If you would like to listen to that or the explanation, I would suggest that you do. But superdelegates, in particular, which obviously Hillary has more of, do not matter until July. They really don't, plain and simple. They're not pledged delegates, and they can easily change their affiliations with whichever way the wind blows between now and then. So let's not look at that number as a number that can't and won't change. It often does. It often does. I mean, this is why we have the Democratic Convention, you guys. So for those of you who are newer to politics, who maybe are just getting into this because of Bernie, and by the way, I applaud you for doing so. Hell yes. High five on that. Fist bump. Don't feel like the race is over. It's not even close to over, especially with the superdelegates that can, as I said, change with sort of whichever way the wind blows. So really, this is not even close to being over for either candidate. I know that Hillary has certainly tried to cultivate the image that she is unflappable and unbeatable, and this is just over before it starts, and that she is the sensible, pragmatic candidate, whereas Bernie Sanders is a silly dreamer. And you know what? It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. So, you know, he speaks for himself. I think her actions are so, in my opinion, are so changeable and mutable that nobody really pays attention. Nobody really thinks that just because Hillary says something once or does something once, it's going to be something that is a repeatable pattern. Nobody thinks that because she declares something during the election season that she's going to stick to it later. Bernie, on the other hand, has held the same views, as I said, for 40-plus years. He's voted with his conscience, with those views, in accordance with those views. And hell, they haven't changed. They haven't changed. Okay, so again, something to keep in mind. So the superdelegates can and will likely change. Delegates to be won potentially by Bernie in the upcoming primaries, not the ones that we just went over tonight, but the upcoming primaries are at least 262. Now, that could easily put Bernie in contention for the nomination, especially in addition to more superdelegates, rather. The Iowa recount now, of course, as I said, suggests that the numbers stand at Hillary Clinton placing first with, 700.47 state delegate equivalents, or 49.84%. And these numbers are coming from the DNC, so don't blame me if they're wrong. You can call up the DNC and complain there. And Bernie Sanders comes in second with 696.92 state delegate equivalents, or 49.59%. So he really gave her a run for her money in Iowa. And I, for one, am glad that they did this recount because it's so important. The democratic process it's not a democratic process if we don't count votes appropriately. I mean, we learned this in Florida in 2000. We learned this again in 2008. So this is important, guys. And as I mentioned, please don't count Bernie out. I mean, he's not even close to out. He's not even close to out. And there is something that I would like to go over with you guys and sort of revisit with you guys right now. I was looking at a very interesting article, and I will absolutely give credit where credit is due. I will absolutely give credit where credit is due. And now I'm looking for the link. Our internet has been running a little slow tonight with the storms. So please bear with me on that. Please bear with me on that as we wait for this to load. I know, super professional. But you know what? We work with what we've got. We are not some syndicated radio show. We don't get the kind of money that Rush Limbaugh maybe, for instance, gets. So we've got to work with just regular internet. Darn the luck. So there's a really great WashingtonsBlog.com. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. WashingtonsBlog.com article. And I was very interested to read this. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but the title is this. Clinton will build her biggest lead on March 15th. Sanders will erode it after that. So this is what I've been telling you tonight. And I've given you the numbers and the facts to back that up. But this is a claim that's being made. And I particularly liked this article and the way that it was laid out in this article. The DNC primary calendar is set up so that Clinton's strongest states will almost all vote by March 16th, or 15th, rather. That is the quote in this article. And under that, it says, don't question the lizard. The lizard knows. So with that in mind, since we're not questioning the lizard here, here's the information included in that article. And again, we already went over this. It's information that has been vetted and that is fully, fully true and real and should be reflected in the upcoming primaries and caucuses. So here we go. Clinton will grow her lead until the March 15th states that have voted. I'm going to say through the March 15th states that have voted because I think that is what they meant when they wrote this article. So the next bullet point here is Bernie Sanders will erase that lead partly or completely after March 15th. Agreed. Absolutely true. The next bullet point here on the list is how much of Clinton's lead he will erase depends on you're not buying what the media is selling. I agree that the contest is over. It's not over. It is not over. The media has been trying to sell us this bill of goods. It is not over. Don't buy it. Don't listen. You can make your own mind up. Don't let the media make your mind up for you. I'm not being paid to speak one way or the other. I'm not being, you know, supported by the DNC. I'm going rogue. I am not being paid to tell you one thing or the other. So I hope that you'll trust what I have to say. I do record and publish my resource notes, my research, so that people know I'm not just pulling these numbers out of thin air. So the next bullet point here is, in most scenarios where Sanders wins, he doesn't retake the lead until June 7th, when five states, including California, cast their ballots. Now, this is true. And California is a very important state. And, you know, say it with me, folks. California is what? A, Republican, or B, Democratic and progressive? Well, it's progressive and Democratic. So California is going to have a lot to say about who wins the Democratic nomination. Now, as I said, we've got a lot of numbers coming up here as far as delegates are concerned that Bernie could easily collect. within the next week and a half to 2 week period. That's 262 delegates that he could easily collect over the next couple of weeks. And I mean, I did this math myself, but since I can add and subtract like most people can, that is the number I came up with. I challenge you to do the math yourself, but these are the states that he's likely to win. Now, I did include Arizona in that, and Arizona could go either way, but I figured why not be optimistic and put that in the possible Bernie column. So that is what I did. But, you know, even if it's 190-something rather than 262, that's still a lot of delegates for him to collect. So he's not out of this by a long shot. And I like this. The message is to gear up for a battle after the Ides of March. And don't let the establishment media tell you what to think. They won't be right until the last state has voted. They won't be right until the last state has voted. I like that quote. Very well put. Okay, so you're the ones, guys, that are going to determine whether the establishment media is right or not. Now, you can't look to them for all of your information. And FYI, for those of you who, like me, had been getting a lot of your information from MSNBC over the years, I'd like for you to know that they were recently bought by Comcast, which is a very Republican company. And immediately after they were purchased by Comcast, they hired Ted Cruz's former speechwriter. Now, this guy wasn't even ethical enough to be able to stick with the Cruz campaign. He was let go for his unethical nature and his lying. And the things that he was putting into these speeches were just ridiculous. So we'll get into that at a later date, potentially. But this guy was not even ethical enough for Ted Cruz. And MSNBC/Comcast went ahead and hired him as, I guess, one of their EPs and somebody who's a big advisor on the show. You'll notice that Ed Schultz is no longer with MSNBC. You'll notice that, who else? Melissa Harris Perry is no longer with them. She, in fact, walked off set because she was so angry with the newly Republican slant of the information that was coming across her desk. So she just literally got fed up and walked off the set, during taping. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Rachel or Chris. I almost said Matthews, as if he would ever leave, with Rachel or with Chris Hayes. I don't know what's going to happen with Alex Wagner, but I would hope that they will move on to more scrupulous news networks. So this is really disappointing and unfortunate. So if you have been getting your news from MSNBC, I would politely suggest that you find a different source. I mean, it's just not the same MSNBC as it was. I'm sure you're noticing more Republican coverage than there used to be, more of a Republican slant. And when they do cover Democratic stuff, I mean, they do cover Sanders now, but they were just only covering Hillary for a long time as if she was the inevitable nominee, when really the facts and the numbers don't support that. So please think about getting your news from a different source. And of course, I would encourage everybody always to get their news from many different sources. There was recently an expose done by a hacktivist group that hacked into Donald Trump's voicemails. And on those voicemails over the past several years, there were quite a few really kind of butt-kissing voicemails from Mika and Joe, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough from Morning Joe on MSNBC. And from, I always forget her name. It starts with a T, and I am just being so professional right now by forgetting it. But you know what? I'm going to have to Google this because it's going to bug the heck out of me if I don't. Yeah, MSNBC. If any of you callers know what her name is, please call in because it's just going to bug me if I don't know. MSNBC anchors. All right. Now, she's really cute, petite, African-American woman. In fact, she was caught leaving a voicemail for Donald Trump, and it was particularly butt-kissing. Okay. It was just ridiculous. She wanted for him to use a discount that he had at a store, because apparently she lives in one of the buildings that he owns, and she asked, could I use your discount to buy a $3,000, I don't know, Prada or Gucci dress? I mean, gosh, that sounds like a necessity, doesn't it, folks? That's just absolutely ridiculous. So apparently MSNBC has been kind of cozying up to Trump for a while now. And it's very unfortunate to me. It's very unfortunate to me. It's very sad that this is the case, but really, you know, they've been going this route for a while. So I would really suggest that those of you who still, oh, I'm sorry, Tamron Hall. So she it identifies herself as T. Hall on the voicemail, but I know her voice. I used to watch her show, used to being the operative phrase. But, you know, she identifies herself in a couple of voicemails left as T. Hall and talks about wanting this $3,000 Gucci dress. The quote was this: I celebrated by going to Gucci, and I'm going to use your discount because there's a green dress that's like $3,000 and I need a discount bigger than my discount. So that's not, you know, Donald Trump influencing journalists at all, right, folks? I mean, no, that's not the case. Heck no. But old Donald Trump is ethical and would never do that. So, you know, as if you didn't know, as if you're not already aware, there is a lot of money in the news industry, in the corporate media industry, and politics and corporate media mix. Look, I mean, ever since Citizens United, and, you know, for a while now, corporations that own news companies are also influencing politicians. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out and to do the math on your own. It's very unfortunate. But again, I suggest to get your news from another source. So moving on to relevant information here. Some of the sources I prefer, and again, none of these people are suggesting that I say this. None of them know. None of the corporations or companies that I'm about to speak of have any idea that I'm going to endorse them. Just to be fully transparent, I've not been given money or incentives of any kind to endorse them. But here are the news sources that I trust personally. The following news sources are ones that I would recommend: PBS, Public Broadcasting System, NPR, the National Public Radio System, which Republicans have wanted to cut funding for a long time, and in fact do away with, which is absolutely ridiculous and does quite obviously show their corporate bias. Now, I also like the Daily Kos, that's run by Konstantin Mlytsos and his wife. I like the Huffington Post. I don't always agree with everything that they write, but I do like them. They're very good at giving two sides to any given argument. They're good at writing in support of both candidates. They are very fair and balanced, to my mind. They have a good online section, and they're affiliated with some other smaller blogs that are quite reputable, so I would recommend them. I also happen to like, there are so many, Vox. Vox is a good one. Salon.com, Mother Jones. So these are all really good. Also the Jim Hightower. I love Jim Hightower. Love him. And I like WCPT in Chicago. That's WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk. AM 820, I believe it is, and FM 92.5. So that's Chicago's Progressive Talk. You can also go online, look up Chicago's Progressive Talk, and stream online. They have a lot of really good shows there. I absolutely love some of their hosts. I really like Stephanie Miller. I like, love Tom Hartman. He's on Chicago's Progressive Talk every day. In fact, he used to have a Friday segment, even through the presidential campaign for a while. He still had this segment. It's called Brunch with Bernie. So on Fridays at about, I think, 12 or 1 p.m. Central, Bernie would come on and discuss the goings-on in the political universe. And Tom Hartman would, you know, monitor the discussion, and it was a very interesting time. Tom Hartman is my favorite radio and TV talk show host, I think, of all time. He's very fair, very balanced, very knowledgeable about many things. He's got a lot of historical expertise, so I would recommend him to you highly. He does have a show on YouTube. I am blanking on the name of that show right now, because really the only name that kind of registers to me is Tom Hartman. So go, you know, look in the YouTube search bar for Tom Hartman, T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's, Tom Hartman with two N's. So he's wonderful. And my all-time favorite news source ever is the Young Turks. Now, they have a website where you can actually subscribe and listen to their entire show, like, without having it broken down into segments. They also have a live show on YouTube. And if you don't want to pay, obviously, to listen to their show, you can just listen in on YouTube in the smaller segments. Just, again, go open up YouTube, go to the search bar and search The Young Turks. The show hosts there, for the most part, the main show hosts, they have quite a few of them, are, I believe his name is like JR or Junior or something. And then, of course, Shank Uger is the main host. Anna Kasparian, John Iadarola. These people are really highly educated people. I did used to also like Al Gore's channel, and I believe it was bought by Al Jazeera, which is also a pretty decent news network. But I used to really like Al Gore's channel that he had, gosh, a couple of years ago. They had some good hosts, including Shank Uger and the Young Turks. They had their own show on Al Gore's channel. It was awesome. I would highly recommend looking them up right now. Jennifer Granholm had her own show, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman. So you can really find some good news sources if you look around. But they're not going to be the mainstream ones anymore. Whereas, you know, years ago, you'd be reading the New York Times and the Washington Post and watching ABC and NBC and CBS. You know, now that's just not where you're going to get the correct information. So I hope that this helps, and I hope that this gives you a jumping off point if you're sitting here wondering, where do I get correct information? And these news sources that I've listed are always going to cite their information. They're always going to, you know, encourage you to do your own research. If any station or show or host ever suggests that you don't do research or that you don't vet the information they're giving you, turn it off, because it's not worth your time. And it's not worth your valuable time and energy. So I hope this helps you guys. I hope it helps you to stay grounded, kind of have the correct information. As I mentioned earlier, I know people are freaking out about, oh my gosh, what the mainstream media is saying about Bernie Sanders, and oh, he lost the state in the state. And I'm here to tell you, guys, this is a ploy. The DNC set this up, and I'm not somebody who believes in conspiracies. This is actual evident information. I mean, straight up, it is. So the DNC purposely set this up so that it would look like Bernie wasn't doing well. Even so, he has either given Hillary a real, real close race and a real run for her money, or won states that he wasn't supposed to do that in. So please, don't be disheartened. We already talked about why this is the case. We talked numbers. We talked policy. So please don't listen to the mainstream media when they're telling you that Bernie's out of the race. I mean, heck, these are the same people that said Bernie has no chance to begin with, and that Bernie's not going to win any of these states, and that he's not going to do well in any of these states. So it doesn't add up. It doesn't compute. Do your own research. Find your own information. Don't just buy into whatever you're seeing or hearing. And even if you're seeing stuff like on Facebook or social media, you know, there are, not too many, but there are conspiracy sort of oriented websites and shows on both sides of the aisle. So please, even if you're hearing something here, do your own research. Please, by all means, do your own research. I try to vet my information, put my sources out there, et cetera, and so on and so forth. Not everybody does. So please do your research. Anybody can go out there on the radio or in the blogosphere or even write articles for real publications like HuffPo and other such really popular publications and say things that aren't true. You know, and you're not always going to hear about it when the retraction comes out. You're not always going to be paying attention when the retraction comes out or when new information is updated. And so you've really got to stay vigilant. So I hope this helps you to kind of not lose heart. And as I said, even though, of course, the information that I was giving you tonight was Bernie-centric, we try to report facts at all times. We do report facts at all times here. So you can count on us at Welcome to My World, myself and my researchers and my guest hosts, to provide you with up-to-date, true information. I do thank you for listening in, and please do feel free to call in next time and join us at 929-477-2694. Thank you again for listening in, and I'm Dominique, signing off, telling you to not lose heart. Good night and good luck.